I thought about it as I was trying to lead you all in prayer. The doctor down in Dublin who Nelda, two ER nurses tried to get her shoulder back in and they couldn't. So they called the orthopedic doctor in, and he had to put her in the operating room and put her sound asleep. But he had prayer with us before we went in. And I tell you, that blessed me. He recognized he needed God's help. And don't you like doctors like that? That's a wonderful attitude for them to have. This morning, I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter 27. And I'd like to begin reading in verse 19. When Pilate was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a criminal. He was in prison. He was set to be executed. And Pilate gave the multitude a choice. It was on a day when one prisoner was to be set free. And they could choose either Barabbas or Jesus. And they said, "Give us Barabbas. Let Barabbas go free." A criminal. They would prefer him in their company over Jesus the Savior. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent from the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit on him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. That's reading down through verse 31. Beloved, we are in this house today to worship this Christ who suffered on our behalf. Now, we love the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I love the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We love the Father. We love the Son. We love the Holy Ghost. But somehow we can identify more with Jesus than we can the other two persons of the Trinity, because he stepped out of eternity into time and was born of the Virgin Mary. He stepped out of invisibility into visibility, and he could walk among men and people could see him. And in that body that was given to him, he suffered for our sins. And here in Matthew 27, Matthew is giving us a detailed account of what he went through in Pilate's hall. Now, there's so much about God that you and I will never understand in this world. For instance, the Trinity. The Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 5, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? These three are three? No, these three are one. How can one plus one plus one equal one? On Earth's arithmetic, one plus one plus one equals three. Our first graders know that. But somebody asked Daniel Webster one time, who compiled the Webster's Dictionary, and he was a brilliant man. They said, and he was a Christian. Then they said, Mr. Webster, how can one plus one plus one equal one? And his answer, I thought, was amazing. He said, you would have to understand heaven's arithmetic to understand that. So you and I can't comprehend a lot about God. Sir Isaac Newton, who was considered one of the greatest scientists of all time, you remember he saw the apple falling off the tree and discovered the law of gravity and began to understand that the very law of gravity that pulled that apple down is the same gravity that holds all the planets in their orbits. He was a brilliant man. And he said this. He said, what we know is a drop. What we don't know is a vast ocean. Now listen, there's a lot of truth in that statement. Anybody in the house today that thinks that you are really brilliant and you know a lot, you probably hadn't got to the point you need to be. It's what we learn after we know it all that really counts. And I want to tell you, the God of this universe is way beyond the comprehension of our little minds. But I'm thankful for the drop I know, aren't y'all? I'm very thankful for what little we understand about this amazing book that God has given us. And so we rejoice in the fact that when we get to heaven, we will learn a lot more about our God. But I want to tell you, beloved, what we do know about him on this earth will help us tremendously as we live out our lives on this earth. David said, be still and know something. Know that I am God. God tells us to just relax, slow down, take it easy. Spend a little time thinking about me and knowing our God. And we need that, beloved. And I appreciate you all being here this morning as we gather around this book and try to learn a little more about our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the verses that I read to you tell us about Pilate's wife coming to her husband and saying, have nothing to do with this just man. I've been troubled in dreams all day long about him. Please don't have anything to do with this just man. She knew he was just. Pilate knew he was just. Pilate washed his hands in the presence of the multitude and said, I'm innocent from the blood of this man. Even Judas Iscariot acknowledged and said, I have betrayed innocent blood. The dying thief said to the other thief, you and I are getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing amiss. How many in the house today understand Jesus was perfect? He was sinless. He was holy, harm-defiled, separate from sinners. And yet, he's going to die the most awful death humans have ever known about in this world because he is taking our place on the cross. Now, Pilate gave the multitude a choice. Would you all like to have Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, to be released to you today on this special day? Or would you prefer Barabbas? Now, Barabbas is a criminal. He's going to get what he deserved if he dies that day on a cross. Can you imagine Barabbas? He knows he's under the sentence of death. And he hears the jailer coming down the hall of the jail, rattling the keys and knowing it's my time to be crucified. And yet the jailer says, you're free to go. Can you imagine how Barabbas felt? You know who Barabbas represents? He represents Sam Bryant. I'm the guilty one. I'm the one that deserved to be sent to hell forever. But Jesus, the innocent one, took my place on that cross. And Brother Moore, Barabbas represents all of you and all of God's children. Yes, sir, beloved friends. Jesus loved us enough to take our place, to bear our guilt and our sins on the cross of Calvary. And when Pilate washed his hands, I don't think that meant that it wasn't guilty. He was. He gave in politically to a lot of pressure. You know, the question was asked, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is Saul Christ? We know what Judas did with him. Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. We know what Peter did with him. Peter cursed and swore and denied him. We know what Pilate did with him. He condemned him. Now the question in my mind this morning is, what is Sam Bryant going to do with him? I want to tell you what I want to do with him. I want to love him. I want to worship him. I want to praise him. I want to honor him in this body, which is his, that he bought and paid for 2,000 years ago. And I hope, beloved, that is your desire today. Let's love him more. Let's worship him. Let's praise him and serve him. I want to yoke up with him. How many of y'all want to yoke up with Jesus? Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you what? Eternal life? No, you don't come to him and ask for eternal life. That's a free gift to people that are dead in sin. But we come to him for rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I want to be yoked up with him. I don't want to be yoked up with the devil. I don't want to be yoked up with the world. I sure don't want to be yoked up with my flesh, my sinful fleshly nature. I want to be yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless his name forever. And so that's what we should be doing today with Jesus, which is called the Christ. And we want to give him all the glory, don't we? You know what the gospel is all about? Giving him all the glory for our salvation. I love what Paul said in Hebrews. One of our deacons over at Vestavia, his favorite verse in all the Bible. Do y'all have a favorite verse? Now there's a lot of verses in the thousands of verses in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And my favorite verse changes from week to week depending on what's going on. But this dear brother stayed with his all the time. And he loved to tell me his favorite verse. It was from Hebrews chapter 9. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Boy, that's a favorite. That might be my favorite verse right now. For by one offering, how many offerings did Jesus make? He made one. Those high priests in Israel, in the tabernacle, in the temple, made sacrifices day after day. Tons of blood was shed in the temple and flowed freely. But none of that blood, none of those sacrifices ever took away sin. But Jesus Christ made one offering. He offered himself without spot to God. And he didn't offer himself to us. Here's a great difference in our theology and the theology of the religious world. We don't believe Jesus Christ offered himself to us for us to accept him. He offered himself to God on our behalf, and God accepted the offering. Now, Jesus Christ paid our sin debt in full on the cross with his precious blood, and God accepted that offering. What's going to keep anybody out of heaven that Jesus died for? Nothing. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so it's true, beloved, that Jesus Christ went through incredible, indescribable suffering during the 6 hours that he was on the cross. You know, later on in this chapter, We are told that the Roman soldiers took his garment, his beautiful robe that he had, and they took it off of him and gambled for him for it at the foot of the cross. And so in naked shame, Jesus hung up there for 6 hours on that cross. And during that 6 hours, beloved, nature itself entered in to sympathy with him. Let me tell you, Jesus on that cross bore the curse that had fallen on the human race in the Garden of Eden. God said to Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat of this, the earth is going to bring forth thorns. And people have been having to deal with thorns all of these centuries. But on that cross, Jesus Christ wore the crown of thorns. He was cursed for us. Are y'all with me today? Look at him, beloved. Hanging there on that cross, wearing that shameful crown of thorns. One of the other curses that fell on Adam and Eve was that you'll make your living with the sweat of your face. Jesus Christ, our blessed Lord, sweat drops of blood in Gethsemane's dark night. Are y'all remember that? As it were, great drops of blood flowed from him that night as he prayed all night long in his high priestly prayer, getting ready for the next day when he would offer himself as a sacrifice. That night, Peter warmed himself by the Roman soldier's fire. It was a chilly night in Jerusalem, but our Savior, under the curse and burden of our sins, sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Yes, sir. He was cursed for us. He bore the curse on our behalf and died in our room and in our stead. And while he was hanging on that tree, the Bible says the sun refused to shine. At high noon, the sun refused to... Can you believe that? It has been recorded that there were Greeks in Greek history who referred to a day in Greece when darkness fell over Greece at high noon. That God just pulled down the curtain of heaven and shut the earth in darkness while he and his son were struggling there at Calvary. 3 hours of darkness. God wouldn't let human beings look on his son while he was pouring out his wrath on him. And the earth began to quake. Y'all remember that? Do y'all want to love him? Do y'all want to worship him? I tell you, in life, we get so busy, don't we? We do, and I do, and we all do. We just need to... I'm glad y'all are here this morning and help me to worship him. Just slow down a little and focus on the best friend any of us have ever had, who did for us what nobody else could ever do. He paid our sin debt. And we give him all the glory today. We praise him and thank him. Now, I want to close this morning by looking at another aspect. You know, suffering on this earth is not over. People are suffering today. We had a long prayer list this morning. And listen, we all are going to suffer. Why is there suffering in this world? Well, one reason is we live in a fallen, broken world. I told Nelda, I said, you know, all the trouble started when Adam and Eve fell. And it's been a suffering world ever since. Adam and Eve held their son Abel in their arms, the body of their precious son, after their son Cain had killed him. Suffering is a part of the human existence. And a lot of people try to escape it with drugs and alcohol or busyness or lust. A lot of people trying to escape pain. Pain is a part of the human existence, beloved. And I want to tell you what will help you and me to bear our suffering. Keep our eyes on Jesus, who suffered for us. The other day when we were at the ER and Nelda was in so much pain, she kept talking about what Jesus went through. I tell you, it helps, doesn't it? instead of having a big old pity party and woe at me and why me, just keep our eyes on Jesus. It'll help us. It will. Now you say, preacher, we expect you to say that. You're a preacher. But that's what the Bible says, and that's what we all need to do to stay in touch with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We suffer a lot in this world because of satanic attacks. How many of y'all believe there's a devil? Well, he's real. And he doesn't want you to believe in him. He'd like for you not to believe in him, but he's real. Satan is real. And his attacks sometimes are brutal. I'm going to tell you, we're all in spiritual warfare on a regular basis. I am. And I know you all are. You have to battle Satan. Even these children, he's after them. He wants to ruin their lives. He's after middle-aged people. He's certainly after old people. I can witness to that. But you know what? Old age can be enjoyed. It took me about 2 years in Birmingham to get my mind adjusted to being an old man. It took a while. But I remember the first time a young girl held a door open for me to walk into a grocery store. And I thought, you know, it took me aback for a moment. And then I thought, this ain't all bad. She's showing respect to an old man. So I'm enjoying old age. It's not as golden as some people say it is, but it's wonderful. When you're walking with Jesus, I want to tell you, every age is wonderful. Put your hand in his hand. And lean on the everlasting arms and find help in time of need. Another reason why we suffer in this life is it takes some suffering to build character. You know, spoiled children don't build much character. If you want to ruin your children's lives, spoil them. Do everything for them. Don't teach them to work. Don't teach them to labor. No, I say that spoiling a child is the worst child abuse almost. It is a form of child abuse. Don't spoil you. God is not going to spoil you and me. He's going to let us suffer some because he's trying to train us and develop us into some character. Sometimes we suffer because of chastening. The Lord has to chasten us. But chastening is not punishment. It's child training. How many of us had mamas and daddies that would spank us? I'm looking at my nephew right now, and there's my nephew. I know how they got chastened. I was down at Aaron's one time. Aaron had all four of his boys out there at one time spanking them. I know Aaron was exhausted, but he trained them. But he trained them with a belt. And Tracy said, amen. Toby said, amen. Listen, if you love your kids, you want to chasten them. Now, you don't want to, you know, I don't think you ought to leave bruises on kids and draw blood, but you need to sting them. My mama was good at it. And I want to tell you, our Heavenly Father is. You're one of God's little children. How many of y'all this morning in the house know you just one of God's little children? Oh, you think, Brother Sam, I'm grown up. I'm so-and-so. I got a college degree. I got a big job. I'm not a kid. Well, I want to tell you, John in his epistle said, little children. He was writing to God's children. We're all just God's little children. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the Hebrew children. Now, they were grown, but they were Hebrew children. I love the story of the preacher who was preaching on the Hebrew children and all they did. And this little boy went up to him after church and said, Pastor, he said, those Hebrew children you talked about, are they the ones that came out of Egypt through the Red Sea? And he said, yes. He said, are they the ones that drank water out of a rock? And the preacher said, yes. And he said, are they the ones that built the tabernacle, the children of Israel? He said, yes. And the little boy said, and they're the ones that crossed the Jordan River and destroyed Jericho. The children of Israel did all that. And the pastor said, yes, son. And the little boy said, well, I've got one question. Where were the adults? The children are having to do everything. Well, the truth is, all of you are just little children. Don't get the big head. I want to tell you, you get in the big head, you really will come under the chastening hand of God. He does know how to humble us, doesn't he? He certainly did Nebuchadnezzar. So, as you and I are going through our suffering in this life, let's just try to stay close to our Savior. See, suffering can cause us to draw near to our Savior and get right up under his arms. And I think most of us who had mamas who would spank us found out a trick. If you get real close to her, she doesn't have much leverage. My mama was about 5 feet tall, and I've often said there was a bush right out behind our house that didn't ever need pruning because she was getting switches all the time. Boy, she could work on us. But if you got right close to her and wrapped your arms around mama's legs, she just couldn't hurt you much. And if you and I'll get close to the Savior, are y'all with me today? I believe this with all my heart. I want to stay as close to him as I can possibly get. This world doesn't want you close to Jesus. Satan doesn't, and your flesh doesn't. But may God help us all. Thank you for your wonderful attention today.